Hello guys, welcome to Run Planet 365, and today we're going to talk about the questions I often get asked about easy runs. And one of the questions I was asked by somebody is saying, why should I run easy runs at this pace versus this pace? So for example, the question here is, why should I run my easy days easier on the easier side than more on a faster side? For example, you know, like it could be a minute or two difference and they're still both called easy. And the question here often gets asked, well, why should you run in the slower part, or you know, easier than on a faster time all the time? So that's what we're gonna kind of like talk about today, and it can relate to many of us. Or you know, like you can ask yourself, well, why you know you should run your easy days on an easier side, and why you shouldn't. You know, you can kind of like look at it and take it for yourself, you know, if it fits you or if it doesn't fit you. So, and in the question number one we can ask ourselves here is, well, we can go based on two things, right? On a feeling, like what's our feeling? We think we're running easy, that's feeling, right? Like effort, perceived effort. Internally, let's say you don't have a you know, a heart rate monitor or a power meter or whatever, lactate. Let's just say you're just running and you say, hey, I went for 60 minutes. I thought that was easy. So that's one thing. The second thing is you need to have a fact or some sort of backup to what you're saying is. Because, you know, you can say your easy runs are so-and-so, but the way to really know what your easy runs is, look at your recent race results. Like you run, you know, whatever races you have, you know, 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon, and look at it like in the whole bigger picture. And look at it, well, what are my recent times? Because that alone will pretty much tell you where you need to be on your easy days, right? If you don't have the sufficient data to back up for what you're saying, then I don't know, maybe, you know, if you're really truly running easy. So I'll give you an example on my case. So for example, me, I will let's say I need to have, why I like racing a lot, and part of the thing is I want to know where I'm at. Like I want to know, hey, like what is my skill level at this point? How am I moving my body? Because our skills changed over months, over weeks, over years. So we need to have some sort of like actual hard fact. Hey, you know, you run this and this, and hey, this is it. I ran a half marathon. Let's just give an example. I go out there and I run 70 minutes, so 1 hour and 10, so that's like 5:20 pace. All of a sudden, that's a fact now. I've run something recently, for example, and now I take that fact and I say, okay, well, what my easy run should be based on this? And then you can look at like, and say, hey, well, add for sure 2 minutes to that pace. So I go 5:20 per mile plus 2 minutes. So that means I get that my easy runs, you know, should be on average at 7:20 pace, roughly. And then you pretty much say, well, let's now move it up like 30 seconds forward and 30 seconds backwards for kind of like conservative and a little bit more aggressive easy run. So that means 6:50 and 7:20 plus 30 means 7:50 per mile. So, boom, that's my answer to that. Now, if I wanted to have more data and I say, well, let me actually see if I'm running my easy runs at the correct effort, I put on the heart rate, and you know, I was gonna say strap on the heart rate, but you know, nowadays Coros has a armband, which is amazing, I've tested it out, and it's the best thing ever happened. You know, I can't believe somebody didn't figure out that earlier. Like, who wants to be putting a heart rate monitor? Although I still have that, but, you know, we've moved on to the age of heart rate monitor to, like, an armband, you know, with a Coros watch. Very smart, you know. So, anyways, and now I have a data. I say, let me go run for 1 hour at 720 pace. Okay, I go out there for my 720 pace, which is initially, remember, it's plus 2 minutes from your recent race half marathon. I go out there, and now I see, for example, that my heart rate will say 120. And then I say, okay, that's 65% for me. And then I say, okay, I think that's on a, like, on a lower end, that I think I can go a little bit faster on my easy runs, for sure, another 5% or 10 beats. So up to 130. So I create, which I even have it now. I have a rule that, like, it can be anywhere in that range for my normal easy run, meaning like when I'm just trying to recover and strike the balance, I will go between 120 to 130. And for my 60, 90 minutes, just my normal easy runs. And if you want to know the heart rate will be, you know, from 65 to 70% of my maximum. My maximum is 184 beats. So I calculate based on that. So once I calculate it, and once I know that, hey, 120, 130 is my, I want to say, like, majority of my easy runs, I just stay there. And I really don't have to look at the heart rate monitor or watch too much because I know how that feels. And then I have, now I have three things backing up my initial data, right? I now have a race, I now have a heart rate, you know, and I now have perceived effort. So now the more evidence that you have that you're actually running easy in correct zones, that is making sure that you accomplish those things that you're looking for that an easy run accomplishes. So that brings me to the next point. What would not be a benefit? Like, let's say I go out there, and I've seen many people do this. I go out there and I say, hey, you know, you go out there and you start running, like, and let's use this previous example, you start running at much faster pace. So for example, I just ran, like, example, right? Let's say that the initial example is 520 per mile in my half marathon. And now you start running at, you know, I start running at 620 or 610 pace every day. And I call that, you know, easy, right? Let's say my initial to say, hey, this is my easy. I think I'm still running fast, easy. Then you go out there and you go out there and you sort of start, you're still running easy, right? You might actually, you know, we don't know that unless you have evidence. Once you have evidence, then you realize that you're into that faster, easy, creeping into a moderate effort, right? And now we have a little bit of dilemma, because now we're in that moderate effort. Now we're into that moderate effort, right? And now what starts to happening is that instead of recruiting all these slow twitch muscles, right, which is what we need for endurance training, that's the whole concept of why we should run a lot of our miles at an easy effort. That was the whole concept, the whole idea. And now instead of trying to, you know, have that backup, like, hey, if I run at 70 to 75% or 65 to 75% and get all the mitochondria that I need, is if I can get the same thing that I'm looking for from an easy run, that I might not even get that during the moderate run. I might even go and skip the slow twitch muscle recruitment, and I might even start entering, like, some sort of moderate, like, recruiting my, I don't know, like, the other fibers, you know, not the slow ones, but I might start creeping up and getting my intermediate fibers. And now here I am running 60 minutes, creeping into my moderate zone, thinking that, hey, I'm recruiting all my slow twitch muscles, which that's the purpose of Easy Run, and I'm not, you know? So I'm doing a totally different training. And of course, if I wanted to really get some sort of backup, I would get that backup with putting my heart rate monitor on. And then I really would realize that, like, hey, I'm totally out of hand, and I'm in 80% or 85. Now you start creeping into that zone where, like, you're much slower, you're still slower than your marathon pace, but you're in a zone where you feel like you have a lot out, right? You get so much out, but in reality you don't recruit you're not really recruiting much into that, you know, that unless two things: unless you're in a base phase or you're training for a marathon and this has some sort of a specific agenda for your marathon. But other than that, you now are not doing what you initially thought, you know, you would be doing. So that's why I think you need to have a backup, and you need to have a rule. Hey, your easy runs, regardless of you know what you say, you have to have evidence that those runs are easy. Other than that, if you don't have, and that's one number one problem that most people face, or many people face, that they are really, like, not running easy. Okay, everybody thinks they are running easy, but they are not. And that is the number one problem, dilemma, that majority of the people that I coach have to first change, and it is a shock to them, because it's one of those things where you say, well, okay, how am I gonna get faster by slowing down? And initially it doesn't make sense, but if you really think about it, like, why do you have to slow down? And if you understand the concept of what you're trying to do, then you will do it, because you understand that, hey, this is gonna make me better in the long run. This is gonna provide me a better, like, better range in heart rates, a better capability of, like, hey, you know, one, like, in my training, I always try, you know, to have 4 minute gaps in between my ranges, you know, from, you know, running 4 minute workouts, you know, like speed workout, all the way to running easy at 8 minute pace. Like, there's big gaps. I have there's every week when I train, I pretty much hit something with a 4 minute mile. I pretty much hit something with a 5 minute mile, 6 minute mile, 7 minute mile, 8 minute mile. And that's it. That's my range. And by giving the body this huge range and being able to do different training, and it allows me to really focus on each session and really, like, understand that, like, if an easy run is easy, you know, I found that there's no difference between me pushing an easy run and me running at 70%. Like, you're still getting paid. Let's just say, example, you're still recruiting all the things that you need. And if, let's just say, if I said it in terms of money, like, you went for 60 minutes at 70% and 60 minutes at 75%, they're both easy, right? And then you say, well, let's say your boss or whatever in the running world would say, I'm gonna pay you for your efforts on the runs. So the efforts are gonna be paid as how much slow twitch muscles you're recruiting according to your needs. So you go out there and you say, well, if I run 60 minutes at 7:20 pace, I get $100. If I run 60 minutes at 6:30 pace or 6:20 pace, I also get $100. And then you ask yourself, well, why would I want to run 6:20 pace if I get, you know, the same concept happens at 7:20 pace? I still get paid $100, and this is just an example. Basically, we're getting slow twitch mitochondria,
I'm getting everything I need with the minimum amount of training and still producing the same outcome, like the objective. And that's the point where you ask yourself, boom, yes, that's what I need. I don't need to be training maximally day to day. I just need to train optimally. Well, whatever that the specific thing that you're trying to hit that day is what you're trying to hit that day, no less or no more, right? And the same concept goes into your interval works in interval or tempo things. What I realize is sometimes when you hit your easy days too fast or too hard, you build a little bit of fatigue, okay? And I'm not saying you should always run at 70%. No, that's not what I'm saying. Is you have to be very careful when you're gonna run fast, easy, and when you're, and majority of the time you should be running your normal easy days and keeping it in the zones, majority of the time. So what you're trying to accomplish is a freshness on easy days. Ask yourself, well, what are you doing? I'm recruiting all my slow twitch muscles. I'm preparing for my session tomorrow, or possibly I'm recovering from my session from yesterday, or I'm in the middle of transition from a workout or 2 days or whatever. The only way that I sometimes see that you should maybe run faster, easy runs is when you've already recovered from the previous workout with an easy day, and you have another easy day before doing another workout. And on that day, you know, if you feel great and you want to go a little bit faster, like maybe kind of like a progression run, you could, but you should be very cautious by thinking of like, hey, I got a workout tomorrow. And the most important thing is always your session days, right? You never gonna get as much benefit from a faster, easy run as you are gonna get from a specific tempo, VO2 max, or any kind of session that you're seeking out. So always protect your main session. Think of a sandwich, buns, meat, buns. Just protect your, know that, hey, this is not the day that's gonna make me a champion. An easy day is not gonna make you a champion, but an easy day can turn into a nightmare and not make you into a champion by not being able to do your workout days at the pace that you should, based on evidence, based on heart rate data, that you should be doing your workout days. You know, because those are the days that are gonna give you confidence. Those are the days that are gonna set you up for success. And not just easy days. The easy days are there, you know, to provide you with recovery, with building slow twitch muscles, and doing all of those things. They are definitely, they are definitely there, and they are needed. You, without an easy day, you're not gonna be able to absorb all the training. And the funny part with distance running, the way distance running works always is that we always need to balance our hard sessions and easy sessions. And we need to strike a sweet balance. And that's what the main training is all about in endurance training. It's not so much, hey, you know, let me get out there and let me run as fast as I can and see what result is that gonna produce for me? Is it gonna improve, you know, help me a lot or not? So we've discussed about the importance of, you know, having facts and having some sort of data to what you're trying to do, right? And once you have all of that, the third final thing that we need to talk about is that you need to ask yourself, are you happy with your current training? Are you happy where you've gone so far? Is your training producing the results that you want, right? Is it on a, you know,
is it really you're truly living up to your full potential or reaching the goals that you want for your current situation in life? And that's one of the really important things, because let's say like this, let's say that you defy the odds, and if you're having successful preparation and successful races, and let's just say that you are running more on that faster, easier runs, but let's just say it's working for you, and let's say you're producing really good results. And I would say that as long as it's producing really good results that make you happy and that put you in a position to succeed, then why would you change it, right? Then keep the easier days faster. If it's been working for you, if you're progressing, as long as you're progressing, staying injury free, getting good results, then there's no reason to change that, right? Now, always listen to your body and always know that, you know, when to go faster, easy, and when to go slower, easy. And understand, you know, always ask yourself, you know, what do I need in my current situation, you know, in my current week, in my current training? And these are the things that, you know, we always have to ask ourselves. You know, it's not for anybody else, it's what you need. It's what you need to succeed. And you have the data, you know, like race results, recent race results, or even if you don't have, you know, during the corona there was no race results. But what we did is we did time trials, and we used those as of like to progress our fitness. And based on those, we said, hey, you know, this is where our fitness is, this is what works. And that's it, you know, and that's what you need to make based on your decision on how you want to succeed. You know, if you do all of those things, you will succeed. You eventually will find your sweet spot, and you will get to your potential. Remember, every one of us has potential, like our own potential to how good we can be. And every one of us want to live up to that potential. And I think it's not so much if you, you know, run a certain time. It's more like, hey, you know, did you accomplish the most that you possibly could with your training in your current situation, with your current talent, in your, you know, your current environment? And at the end of the day, you know, if you ask yourselves and you did those things, then that makes you happy, and you know that you did everything you could. And if you do that, then, you know, that puts you in a good position. But remember, you need to have data, and data is very important for you to really understand, like, because maybe you're not improving, and you're not improving because you are running your easy days too fast, and you don't have that data. You know, you just kind of think that you're going easy, and maybe you constantly get in a rut, you get injured, you don't feel good in training, and you wonder why you can't get your workout days, you get sick often, maybe you're not as, you know, sharp as you usually are, you don't feel great in overall picture training. And that's when it's time to start looking at your whole training, looking at your whole picture, you know, your weekly, you know, your whatever, your 14-day cycle or monthly cycle, and start looking at the bigger picture and ask yourself, well, what am I doing wrong? You know, like, are my easy days fine? Are my workout days not fine? Am I not recovering? You know, ask yourself these questions out loud, just like I am right now. You know, you look at the, you open up and say, well, if I do this, if I do A and B, it produces C. And then you say, okay, well, what if I change a letter? It's like an equation, you know, like, what if I slow down my easy days? Does that make a difference? Does that put my workout days better, or my workout stays the same, but I'm feeling more fresh? So these are all the questions that you have to ask yourself out loud. And at the end of the day, don't forget to ask the main questions, is like, hey, am I getting, like, what are my best recovery tools? Because we're always asking ourselves, well, what can I do this? Can I do more? You can do a lot of things, right? But what you need to do is your recovery tools need to be at all-time high, right? So you need
make sure that you have a really good sleep every night, to the best of your abilities. Develop good habits. You drink a lot of water. You have a good nutrition. You have, you know, good massage. You have whatever that you need to have. You know, take care of those basic things before, you know, you start thinking about like the other small things. You know, like, make sure that you take care of those things. Those things are very, very important. You know, if you don't take care of those things, you will not, you know, it doesn't matter how hard you train, what you do, because, you know, you, the basics are always, you know, the most important things, and you have to take care of that. Okay, so remember, guys, easy days, how you want to run them is up to you. Regardless of, you know, how you define an easy day, a factual or scientific easy day is always 65% to 75% of your max heart rate, you know, effort, honestly, you know, from anywhere from 1 to 5, you know, that on a scale of 10, you know, like perceived effort, you know. And honestly, when in doubt, remember that take your, you know, on a really fast end, you know, even you could take your 5K time, right? If you train for shorter distances and just add 2 minutes per mile, and then most of your running should be in that zone. You know, like, there's a lot of people that train way faster every day today based on what, you know, what the race results say. You will never see professional runners try to train within 1 minute of their 5K pace. It's impossible on the easy days, right? Think about it. Like, if you train at, let's say these guys, you know, they run 420 pace, right? World-class runners, even actually faster. They train, you know, if they run even faster, let's say close to 4 minute mile for 3 miles straight. These are the best guys in the world. Do you really think that they're gonna go out there and run 5 minute miling every day on easy run? No. You know, honestly, they're not. And they might even run 3 minutes slower, you know, 2.5. And that's what is easy pace for them, would be anything from 6 minute mile to all the way up to 8 minute mile, and they are running that. So they understand that, you know, it's not during the easy day that you know, that you can go, you know, be a champion. It's not that, you know, in easy day, you have to have discipline. You have to know that, hey, you know, this is not the time to push unless the easy day calls for faster, easy run. It calls for maybe during the aerobic base period where you don't have any races, you don't have any workouts, then that makes a difference to push the easy days. You know, that's your aerobic kind of like, you know, base period. But other than that, you know, if you have a template that you practice Tuesday, you know, Friday, Sunday, or whatever, if you're doing your whole sessions, there's no need to push easy days. You have your workout days. There's plenty of them during the week. You know, push it then. Push to where it needs to be pushed. Do not worry about, you know, pushing during your easy days. You know, that's not the concept of it. Keep your easy days easy and think always long-term development. The longer you can stay healthy, free, the longer you can enjoy training, the longer you can enjoy running, the better shape you're going to be. And the farther you're gonna get in training, and that's pretty much solves this podcast, this episode. And I hope you really kind of like looked at it at from your perspective, applied some things, and said, like, you know, how does this apply to me? How can I improve? And ask yourself out loudly these questions. And you ask yourself, you know, like, what can I do? What am I doing wrong? What am I doing right? And you will have the answers, and always have evidence, right? Facts. I told you guys, you know, heart rate is number one. No matter what anybody ever tells me, heart rate is always an answer to, like, how hard are you working? How hard is your body working to a certain thing? That's one way of measuring if you're really in that percentages, if you're really doing the right thing. And if you don't have that, your perceived effort could be
totally wrong. If you've always been running moderate, your perceived effort can be totally wrong. Because I'm going to tell you that majority of the people, there's not too many people that always have a heart rate of 200 and more. And I think, you know, worst case scenario, but on average, let's just say somebody has an average of 200 heart rate max, and it's not many, but let's just say, and a lot of times if your runs are in the 160s and 170s on day to day, like, are you really running easy? Or you've gotten to the point where you don't know what easy is, or you've never known what easy was. Nobody ever teach you that, hey, that most of your running training should be jogging, you know? And eventually you get faster with the same heart rate, and that jogging turns into faster. There's a way to really, like, some people realize that, like, hey, I really have to, like, jog really slow. And if you realize that's a good thing, because now you say, hey, now I found my weakness, and I found my weakness at lower heart rates. And now what I'm going to do is, and I'm going to take, you know, 6 months, and I'm going to go on a good heart rate training program, and I'm going to get myself to the point where I'm running 2 minutes per mile faster at the same heart rate in six month time. And not only you're not going to get injured, but you're going to fully develop long term. And that's the whole concept of it. It's not that you're going to head out there and start running fast and easy every day. There's no need. Remember, easy day is easy, and that's it. That's what you need to remember. And keep it for, like, if you're in doubt, keep it from 65 to 70% if you've been running for many years. And maybe if you're a newcomer to the sport, you know, extend that to maybe 75%. And you know, for the 200 people max heart rate, look, draw yourself a line. Don't cross 150 beats per minute on your easy days for heart rate. If your maximum heart rate is 200, it doesn't matter. That's that, from anywhere from your 130 to 150 beats per minute is where you're getting all your benefits. You're getting paid for it, you know? And you don't need to go, because if you go 150 and above, like 160 and 170, now you're doing totally different training. You're recruiting totally different muscles, and you're not really doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so it's very easy. Have facts. Don't depend so much on emotions on every single run. Know exactly how you're going to execute, where you're going to go on these daily runs, how you're going to do it, what heart rate you're going to run, what effort, and keep doing it week to week basis. And that's how you're going to see the big improvements. We're not trying to do champions weeks or champions, you know, like crazy workouts. All we're trying to do, guys, is build consistency. When you start building consistency is week to week, month to month, is that's the success of every athlete that I've ever coached is incredible. It's like we don't see the work for 6 months. People are doing the work, and sometimes you don't see the work, right? And then next thing you know, like, the work starts showing up, and everybody else is asking, well, how did this person do it? Well, this person did it by being consistent. This person did it by doing what they're supposed to be doing on, you know, on day-to-day, executing every single week. And this is how that person got here. And now they're here. You know, and now they're going to keep doing it for another 6 months. And so on. There is no magic. You know, really isn't, guys. It's just about doing the right thing and progressing as much as you can. And you know, all the things that we want to get as runners is just, we're just going to get to the point where, you know, you want to get to the point where you just reach the best version of yourself. And after that, you know, you might never win Chicago Marathon. You might not be a world-class athlete. But guess what? That's not what it's all about. If you reach your best potential by doing something that, you know, you think you did the right way, and you enjoy that journey, you enjoy your running, you feel healthy, and it relieves stress in life, it makes you feel good about yourself, then you've succeeded it. And let me tell you that, you know, like, if you just adjust this one thing of much more easier running, and you have facts and you understand why you're doing it, you're going to keep improving, you know, week to week, month to month, year to year. Or worst case, you're going to be always maintaining if you already reached the top. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. And again, I hope that this episode really helps you to figure out how to improve as a runner and how to think long term.